Jesus went around preaching, telling parables, telling of the good news. He entered many cities and towns, gathering people from all around. In fact, four of them today. Gathering all those people that have been bribed to take part in the drama. There were four of them. He went round calling on all disciples to follow him. Even Kevin Wells was bribed to get involved in the drama. And as Jesus was going around preaching the good news, he gathered people up onto the stage. They went up and got close as he was preaching, wondering what was going on. Was a man named Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus, we have to understand, had a very important job. He was a tax collector. A tax collector is somebody who collects money from people in the town, in the society. In actual fact, anyone who has money. Anyone who can find a gold chocolate coin under their chair. For example, and holds it up in the air, because Zacchaeus needs to collect your taxes. In actual fact, not only is Zacchaeus a tax collector, he is the chief tax collector. And as the chief tax collector, he doesn't let anyone off. He knows that in the town there are lots of people with lots of money, and he collects all the money from them and then comes back up onto the stage and counts his money, because he has plenty of money. He's mean. He's cheating. Okay. Now, of course, what we need to understand is that Zacchaeus, as a mean tax collector with lots and lots of money that he has cheated out of people, is also a little man. He's a little man with a fiendish way of collecting taxes. In actual fact, he didn't even notice that Jesus was passing by visiting Jericho that day. But he knew there was something in it, because there was a crowd gathering and he could not see over the top of all of these tall disciples and all of these tall people. He needed some way, a tree or something, a branch. Who's got a branch? There must be a branch somewhere that he could use to clamber up into a tree. Ah, perfect. A sycamore branch. Now, as Zacchaeus was climbing up into the tree to step over to see what was happening, Jesus, who knows his scriptures very, very well, happened to say to Zacchaeus,
"Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today."
Oh, he must stay at your house. Now, in order to stay at someone's house, Jesus obviously needs a pillow. Now, there must be a pillow somewhere around here, under a chair. Can anyone find a pillow to pass on to Jesus? Because he must stay at Zacchaeus' house. Now, Zacchaeus was very curious why this Jesus fellow took an interest in him as he was standing on the tree, holding his sycamore branch. In actual fact, one of the disciples piped up and said,
"Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. He can't stay at your house. He's a tax collector."
Of course, Zacchaeus was a tax collector and a sinner. And this riled some of the people who were listening to Jesus. Anyway, the tall people went home. And Zacchaeus came down from the tree and invited Jesus back to his house for a cup of tea. Now, he needs a mug. There must be a cup of tea somewhere here under a chair. Can anyone find a cup of tea? Ah, lovely, Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus for the first time. He was amazed. In actual fact, he was so amazed that he decided he would turn over a new leaf and give back to the poor all of the money that he had stolen. Not only that, those people he stole gold coins from, he would give back fourfold. Put your hand up if you had a chocolate coin taken from you. Yeah, right. In actual fact, this was Zacchaeus explaining to Jesus that he was sorry for his sins. He was sorry because he had met with Jesus that day. And Jesus, of course, forgave him. There was forgiveness. So,
today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
A round of applause to our actors. Without words. Our second scripture reading for this morning. Luke 18, verses 18 to 23. The rich and the kingdom of God. A certain ruler asked Jesus,
"What must I do to inherit eternal life?"
And again,
"Why do you call me good?"
Jesus answered,
"No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother."
"All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him,
"You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have the treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
And when he heard this, he became very sad, because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said,
"How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God."
Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied,
"What is impossible with man is possible with God."
And Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you."
"Truly I tell you,"
Jesus said to them,
"no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age, and in the age to come, eternal life."
This is the word of the Lord. Now I have two for our talk this morning.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Before we start, I want to do a little experiment, okay? It's kind of a breakfast experiment and it's kind of a science experiment. So I'm going to move this to here. And I could do with a couple of helpers. All you need to do to be a helper is you need to be good at observing. I have one helper there, and two helpers, and I have Luke, and I have Eva. Okay, so all you need to do is look, because everybody else is a little bit further away and they won't be able to see. So all you've got to do is look, and you've got to tell me, if you come around the back, Eva, you've got to tell me what's in the bowl in front of you. Eva, what's in your bowl?
Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies. What's in your bowl, Luke? Yeah, some kind of cornflakes. Yes. Adam, what's in your bowl? Weetabix. And yours is a little bit trickier, Margaret. Do you know what it is? Yeah, it's cocoa. It's drinking chocolate, okay? And I thought it'd be good to do a little experiment and to see what happens when we put the milk into all the different things. What you've got to do is you've got to look, you've got to listen, you've got to smell, and then you've got to tell everyone what happens to your thing that you've got. You ready? We'll start here. What do you notice, Margaret, about what's happened to your thing when the milk's gone in?
It's kind of dissolved and coloured the milk.
Yeah, it's dissolved and it's coloured the milk, okay? It's kind of disappeared into the milk. What about you, Adam?
It's got all wet.
It's got all wet and it's, it has, and it's sucked up all the milk.
Sticky.
Yeah, yours doesn't do too much, I think you've got probably the least exciting one. It's just gone a little bit soggy. And what about you? What did yours do when the milk went on?
Well, mine started floating because it's got loads of air inside.
It did? Oh, good knowledge. Did it do anything else? Did it make any sounds?
It didn't really make any sounds.
Okay. I think if you listen really carefully, does anyone know what sounds it made? Snap, crackle and pop. Good. You didn't hear that, okay. Lovely. Thank you very much, you four. I don't think I could have done that without you. If you have a sit down, and we'll leave that there as a reminder. Okay. The reason for that little experiment is because it's interesting to see that the same milk goes onto the four different cereals, and they each behave and react in a different way. And actually, when Jesus was around, a lot of different people came into contact with Jesus. Okay, sometimes people who were really different, sometimes people who were similar. A lot of people came into contact with Jesus, and they didn't all respond to him in the same way. And today, we're looking at two characters who came into contact with Jesus and the different ways they respond. We're looking at two rich men who both had an encounter with Jesus and behaved very differently. And we can find the story of both men in Luke's gospel. You've had one acted to you and one read to you. And the two characters are the rich ruler and Zacchaeus. Okay, and hopefully... Okay, the rich ruler, one more. And Zacchaeus. Okay, the rich ruler, as the name suggests, was a ruler. Okay, so he probably inherited his wealth, whereas Zacchaeus basically stole, extorted, and cheated his wealth out of people. The rich ruler appears to have been respected, but Zacchaeus was despised. And yet, at the end of their encounters, we see that the rich ruler leaves rich but sad, and Zacchaeus leaves poor but happy. So I'd like us to look at their stories and see how it comes to be that way and see what we can learn from these two rich men. Jesus' meeting with the rich ruler warns us that wealth can be a barrier to faith. It can get in the way of our relationship with God. As far as we can tell, the rich ruler was basically a fairly nice guy. Okay, he was polite to Jesus. He was asking about eternal life. He wasn't hostile. He obeys the commandments. But when Jesus invites the rich ruler to give all of his possessions away and follow him, he can't bring himself to do it. And he goes away sad because he had much wealth. Interestingly, that invitation was pretty much the same one that Jesus had given to the disciples. He'd said, "Leave your nets and come follow me." But the disciples were fishermen, not rulers. And I think that made the decision a little bit easier for them. After the rich ruler leaves, Jesus tells the disciples that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Put up your hand if you've ever threaded a needle. Put up your hand if you've ever got really, really frustrated threading a needle. Keep your hand up if you think you could thread a camel through a needle. Okay? I get wound up enough threading a little bit of cotton through a needle. Okay? And I think Jesus was using this to illustrate just how difficult it can be for this wealthy man to enter God's kingdom. For the rich man, his wealth was a great barrier. And I wonder how many of us today consider ourselves wealthy. Okay, I won't ask you to raise your hands for this, but let's all consider for a moment. There's going to be a picture up on the screen now of somebody that I think we would all agree is wealthy. Does anyone know who this is? Bill Gates. Yeah, this is Bill Gates. Okay, and here's a second image. Okay, now I've read about something called comparison bias. Okay, and this is what all humans suffer from. And that is that when we are considering how wealthy we are, we tend to look up. Okay, when we are considering how morally good or bad we are, we tend to look down. Okay. There. Well done. Okay, so there's a visual illustration of comparison bias. Okay? Where we tend to look up when we're deciding whether we are wealthy rather than looking down. And in fact, if you don't have to worry about money or about where to sleep or what to eat or what to wear, then you are rich by the standards of many in our world. I'm not going to pretend that we all have the same bank balance, but wherever we fall on that scale, we are called to put our trust in God and rely on Him fully. And we need to take steps to ensure that our wealth and our possessions don't get in the way of our relationship with God. And that may well involve giving some or other amount of our stuff away. I'd encourage all of us to take a moment to consider whether God is challenging us today in this way. The second man we're looking at today is Zacchaeus. And if the rich ruler shows us that great wealth can be a barrier to God, Zacchaeus shows us that it doesn't have to be. Because Zacchaeus wasn't just wealthy, he was a chief tax collector. He was the worst kind of wealthy. He got his money by cheating and stealing from others, and people despised him. And yet, when Jesus sees Zacchaeus in the tree, he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must stay at your house today." And while Zacchaeus is with Jesus, his heart is transformed and his life is changed. And he decides to give half of his wealth to the poor and pay back everyone he's cheated four times as much. Zacchaeus doesn't give all his money away, but he does pledge to give away a very sizable chunk. And Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come from this house, come to this house." The story of Zacchaeus reminds us that everyone can be accepted by Jesus. That great wealth, even ill-gotten wealth, doesn't have to be a barrier. After Jesus had told the disciples that it was harder for the rich man to enter God's kingdom than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, they asked him, "How can anyone be saved?" And Jesus answered, "Nothing is impossible with God." And we see that promise in action in the transformation of Zacchaeus. These stories about these two men contain a clear message about wealth. But I also think they contain a really important lesson about attitudes. Because if we look closer, we can get an idea about why these two men responded so differently to Jesus. If we look at the rich ruler's conversation with Jesus, we see that he had a fairly high opinion of himself. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus reminds him, "Nobody's good but God," and talks about commandments. And the rich ruler says, "The commandments, I've kept them all since I was a child." The rich ruler recognised that Jesus was a wise teacher, and he recognised that Jesus was good. But he kind of thought that he was pretty good as well. And when he asks Jesus what he needs to do to get eternal life, I get the impression that he was kind of expecting Jesus to say, "Actually, don't worry, you've got it covered. Just keep up the good work." Zacchaeus, on the other hand, had a pretty low view of himself. I think Zacchaeus knew that he wasn't a nice, respectable guy. I think he knew that people hated him, and he understood why. And I think that was probably part of the reason why he climbed the tree. I think climbing the tree meant that he could avoid being noticed by other people, including Jesus. In fact, both the rich ruler shared the same view about God, and that's one that is still shared by many today. It's a view shared by pretty much every religion, philosophy, worldview except the Christian faith. Both men mistakenly believed that our own good deeds make us acceptable to God and ultimately earn us a ticket to eternal life. The key difference is that the rich ruler thought he had it covered and Zacchaeus thought he didn't. I love the radical way in which Jesus challenges the attitudes of both men. We see that Jesus' actions are the complete opposite to what might make logical sense in our world. If you meet a respectable ruler who obeys the commandments and asks about eternal life, invite yourself to dinner. If you meet a hated tax collector guilty of greed and theft, you tell them to give their money back. But to the rich ruler, Jesus says, let me show you that you're not following God's commands as closely as you think. Sell your possessions and give your money to the poor and follow me. And to Zacchaeus, he says, let me show you that you're worth more than you think and that you can be more than you are now. Let me share a meal with you. Jesus' actions show us that he loved both men. It can be easy to miss that point if we're not careful and to cast the rich ruler as some sort of baddie. But we need to remind ourselves that Jesus did invite the rich ruler to come and follow him. In fact, Mark's version of the story actually states that Jesus looked upon the rich ruler and loved him. Both men were loved by Jesus. Both men received an invitation to be Jesus, to be with Jesus, and both men received a challenge, just not in the same order. And that's because Jesus wanted both men to understand that their value to God is not determined by their actions, that closeness to God in this life and the next can't be earned through our actions, but only received as a gift. And Jesus wants us to understand that same thing today. I'd like us to think about the way that God sometimes offers an invitation and sometimes offers a challenge. And I'd encourage you to consider whether God is offering you a challenge today to respond to him in some area of your life, perhaps wealth or perhaps something else. I'd also encourage you to consider whether God is offering you an invitation to draw closer to him and to know his love and acceptance in a deeper way.